Compassion, the Eye of the Heart, Aratima. Let's start with a few quotes. By Thomas Merton, compassion is the keen awareness of the interdependence of all things. Arthur Jersild, compassion is the ultimate and most meaningful embodiment of emotional maturity. It is through compassion that a person achieves the highest peak and deepest reach in his or her search for self-fulfillment. Matthew Fox, compassion is not sentiment, but is making justice and doing works of mercy. Compassion is not a moral commandment, but a flow and overflow of the fullest human and divine energies. His Holiness the Dalai Lama, the whole purpose of religion is to facilitate love and compassion, patience, tolerance, humility, forgiveness. So let's talk now, what is compassion and how does compassion relate to empathy or sympathy? I have noticed that there is a lot of confusion about these things. Let's start with sympathy. What is sympathy? Imagine expressing sympathy towards someone. How do you feel towards that person? You are aware of a situation that evoked sympathy for a person. Did you feel that this person is strong, perfect, and utterly divine when you felt sympathy for this person? Or did you have a sense of this person being in the wrong place, having a wrong experience, something wrong was happening to this person, and something needs to be changed? Could you honor this person being in the right place at the right time? Obviously, something is happening and taking place in this person's life, and we are lacking the vision of perfection, of seeing the perfection of this moment for this particular person. Did you feel, when you had that sympathy feeling, that this person was inadequate, weak, vulnerable, ineffective, and somewhat a failure? Did you feel like you were in a better position? We notice that sympathy has a component of judgment. It is a form of pitying and feeling sorry for another. This judgment might locate the person or compartmentalize the person as in the situation of this person as something that is good, or we might even have that judgment of this person brought it upon himself or herself. And that's a form of sympathy because we are feeling for the other person and it has the component of judgment. In the case of sympathy, there is no meeting in the heart. There cannot be, as we have judged the situation as bad or as good. We are in the mind trying to help from the perspective of good or bad. This is sympathy. Now let's come to empathy. Empathy is the capacity to feel for another. It is a precursor to compassion, actually. It derives from a Greek root word meaning in feeling or feeling into. As a component of compassion, empathy is the recognition and understanding of the other's suffering. When we are empathetic, we appreciate another's person for their suffering and because we're able to feel into his or her perspective. As parents, we continuously feel into our children's fears and pains. Empathy requires an openness to receiving and holding the other's experience without reservation or judgment, without trying to make it go away or to fix it before we actually fully share the feeling of suffering. In empathy, there is no intellectual or physical action. The action is purely attentive in addition to feeling into the other. It involves entering into and staying present in the painful experience of the other without moving away from that experience by trying to change it. There's no emotional recoiling and mental judging. Empathy, in that way, establishes a deep connection of mutual vulnerability and intimacy. If we just think about this for a moment, that as humans, we have the capacity to feel another person's feelings and in that way affect their experience. It is really what makes us quite human. It's really where our humanity starts, that we can actually feel into another person. Now let's move to compassion. This word, compassion, comes from Latin and means to bear with or to suffer with. And compassion and empathy are essential human qualities that allow one to feel, to understand, and to respond to the suffering of others. They enable us humans to enter into and maintain relationships of caring. This is a universal human response, and many of the world's major religions hold compassion as one of the highest spiritual virtues. Now, the compassionate person will seek to actually aid those they feel compassionate for. A compassionate person has a sense of shared suffering, most often combined with a desire to alleviate or reduce such suffering. The main expression is kindness to those who suffer. We are reminded here of the bodhisattvas who vow to not enjoy their enlightenment until the last sentient being ceases to suffer. Compassion is really another word for love. There is an attempt to alleviate suffering as if it were one's own. This evokes feelings of lightness, strength, confidence, resilience, and high self-esteem in the one being helped. And how does this happen? It happens through the meeting of the two hearts. The sufferer is being met by the light-hearted, by the one who has compassion. The light illuminates the darkness like a burning candle lights another wick. There is an experience of equality and remembrance of one's true nature. This is very distinct to empathy. Empathy does not have that part. In empathy, there is a sharing of the energy of suffering, which usually leads to some form of taking on energies and also some form of burning out, because one is completely obliterated by touching another person's energy, the etheric junk and the feeling frequencies, we could say, that energy that now two people are sharing. It alleviates the energy for the other, but the person that's empathically feeling into is receiving that energy. And this is cluttering the person's field who is empathetically feeling into another person. This does not happen in compassion. We're talking here about the remembrance of one's true nature. Compassion differs from other forms of helpful or humane behavior in it that it focuses primarily on the alleviation of suffering, the feeling component of human nature. So we're not here to judge that a situation is bad, like in sympathy, or even in empathy where there is this feeling into, but there is no holding of light. The mind is not involved. There is no holding space mentally. It's just holding space emotionally. Whereas in compassion, the goal is to bring light to the other, to remind them of their nature, of the divine nature, of the light that they are. Acts of kindness, which seek primarily to confer benefit rather than relieve existing suffering, are better classified as acts of altruism. So that's the difference to compassion. I'll repeat that. Acts of kindness that seek primarily to confer a benefit, whereas compassion relieves the existing suffering of another. And reminding the other in that process of being compassionate, the other is reminded again of who they are. So let's look at this more in detail, what's actually happening. In compassion, we recognize that the essence of any human being is a divine presence. We know the other is as one's own self. This knowledge here is that the whole universe is but the manifestation of one supreme being. This knowledge springs forth from the firm realization that I am but one part of the whole universe, but that all beings are my own reflections in their own various aspects of existence. Everything I perceive as name and form is nothing but my own self. We have to acknowledge here that compassion is a mature expression of a highly evolved human being in which the sense of identification has moved into the core. So you're identifying as the core, as eternity, and you're beginning to extend that into the core of another human being. So you're beginning to see the others also as that. This person that has long practiced compassion towards himself or herself and is finished with his or her personal karmas and is now looking at extending pure awareness into the rest of the universe. So you've practiced all this being in your core and allowing yourself to remain as that, bringing light to all the things that arise in your surface bodies, bringing that home, you could say, and you're beginning now to move that compassionate eye into the rest of the world, seeing everybody else as that point of light, as that core, as that eternity that is also you. So compassion involves an active concern for and an effort to alleviate that suffering. So Mother Teresa, for example, called compassion love in action. Compassionate action is a willingness to go beyond self-interest and give of oneself for the good of the other. It is not just an act of kindness, like we said, like an altruism. It is rather relieving the existing suffering by reminding oneself and the other that there's only this light, the light of existence, the divinity itself. It is strongly related to selfless service. Compassion points to the emotional nature of humans and selfless service to action or karma yoga, but they are intertwined. We can't really totally separate them. We go beyond one's own needs and attend to the needs of another, and by doing so, rekindle their own inner reality. And in this way, we awaken to the universal self, the larger part of us out there, the shared humanity. So who do we serve? Once this vision of oneness is established, we serve all, not only the poor and sick. We help everyone to become free and selfless by being oneself and seeing the others through that lens of the core. Vedanta philosophy and the practice of oneself naturally makes one compassionate. This is just a byproduct of the practice. We want to love ourselves out there in the world as it is us. So compassion is not to be seen as static and service-oriented broad-heartedness, but should be viewed in its totality where love takes universal form as regards to both human welfare, human knowledge, and wisdom. The highest goal for a compassionate soul would be to see that everyone comes to see the real self within. And thus compassion tries to bring a new revolution in social thinking. When we look at that more clearly, the values of kindness, generosity, and care that we cherish limit them not only to our near and dear ones and ourselves, but it gets expanded to cover everyone, for there is in reality no other being than ourself. And this is why this MP3 is coming to later modules, because it is a very, very advanced practice, a very advanced art of being. In helping others, we help ourselves. In treating others, we cure ourselves. In feeding others, we get satiated. In preaching others, we become wise. And the receiver becomes the greater God, and the giver, the worshiper. And those two things are then the real compassion. And let's look a little bit at the three big religions, how they actually look at that. And in Hinduism, it's called ahimsa. And maybe people who know Mahatma Gandhi, he used that word, is known as the God quality within a person. It's an open-hearted, active response of respect, service, and care for those in need. It was a prime aspect of Gandhi's nonviolent liberation movement. Compassion is really the karuna, is central in Buddhism. The Buddha manifested absolute compassion for all creation. Buddhist compassion Karuna is seen as the appropriate human response to understanding the interdependence and mutual welfare of all beings. So we're seeing a little bit of a mental, intellectual aspect here, which is so central in Buddhism, is to so that we understand the human response to understanding the interdependence and the mutual welfare of all beings. This sounds very logical, but this is not something that everyone truly understands. A lot of people on this planet are not seeing the importance and the fact that we're interdependent. In the Judeo-Christian tradition, compassion is a manifestation of God's love and mercy. It is the way God interacts with creation and therefore is the way people should interact with one another. It is the merciful God, the loving God, that does everything and sacrifices for humanity and is inviting humans to act and live in that way and walk on that path as well. So compassion is a very advanced form of spiritual manifestation in one's practice and how we actually begin to extend this feeling into others with the light, remaining in the core of oneself, and then feeling into the other and being with them. So sometimes just that presence is all that's needed, and then if it's necessary, words are being spoken, actions are being taken. They do come directly from the core, from your core, while you are in relation to the other person's core. And so everything that's being said or done is absolutely perfect in that moment. And the other person will be completely liberated from this self-judgment, because when they're suffering, the person's caught in judgment. So you're bringing space, which is non-judgment, to the situation. And you have no interest in having a particular outcome. That's very important, because that will be judgment. That would be sympathy. If you have an interest in a particular outcome, you're judging something and you are thinking you know better than eternity itself.